الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا وذليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك ذوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We talked about Iman yesterday, and it was mentioned that whenever and wherever in Quran we find the term Mu'min, Iman, we find the term Muttaqeen, Muttaqoon, we find the terms Shia, all these are the same applicables, that is someone who possesses the fundamentals and which are the belief in the oneness of God, belief in the justice of God, belief in the concept of prophethood, imamat, and belief in the day of judgment. This is the package of faith and belief that we have. And this can be understood in the first few ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. We find that saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, then says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And then says, who are these muttaqeen? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They are those who have faith and iman in ghayb. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And continues, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. So it's the fundamentals that we have faith in, that what has been revealed unto them, they have faith in that. And someone who has faith in these fundamentals is known as Iman. And someone who has faith in them is a mu'min. And we believe, according to Quran, that mu'min, he will not be punished forever in the hellfire. But what about the shortfall they may have regarding prayers, fasts, hajj, ahkam, etc.? Says for them to end up in the heavens, they will need to be corrected, fixed, a punishment will be seen, and after seeing the punishment, they will be sent to the heaven. So mu'min, he does not get punished in the hell forever. Someone who has good actions, good deeds, but has no faith, such a person, his faith, his good actions will do him no good at all. Because he is lacking that iman, he will be punished forever. Now, in this ayah says, muttaqeen. The definition of taqwa, which ma'asumeen have given, they say, ijtinab, to be away. Or elsewhere says, at-tahaffuz anil khulud finnar. Taqwa means protection from doing something that a person gets punished forever in the hellfire. And what is that? He learns his usul. Belief in the one God, belief in the hereafter, belief in the prophethood, etc. So that is tahaffuz anil khulud finnar. With that, he will not be punished forever in the hereafter. Now, yesterday it was mentioned that if you want to see who a mu'min is, and then Imam says, look at him at the time of prayers. امتحنوا شيعتنا عند مواقيت الصلوات كيف محافظتهم عليها. That is, you look at our Shias when it is time for prayers. What do they do? Do they give importance to prayers? Or do they just carry on what they are doing? So that is the first criteria which Imam has mentioned over here, that look at them in that aspect. And to this, a lot of importance has been given. For example, in Quran, we see that almost on every page we find the term Salat has been used. So it seems as if it is an important task, an important assignment. And someone who gives importance to Salat, everything else in his life also gets corrected almost to a certain extent. So if Salat is taken care of, everything else can be taken care of. So much so in that glorious hadith, Imam says that when it were the last moments of our sixth Imam, the reporter, he says that I was amazed to see what Imam did on that, in those moments. Says, what was that? Says he asked everyone to congregate from his household. Everyone congregated around him. Imam, who was giving away his life, eyes were shut and closed. Suddenly he opens them and then says, our shafa'at, our mediation, our intercession will not be for someone mustakhiffan bis-salat, who takes prayers easy. Taking prayers easy and not saying prayers is something else. That is addressing to you and me, that we who disregard prayers or that much of importance and emphasis which should have been given to prayers is not being given. And we find amazing teachings from Ma'sumeen. They say that throughout your life, if you live for 100 years, so in those 100 years, assuming we had 80,000 prayers to offer, Imam says, out of these 80,000 salawats which you had to offer throughout your life, if you offered just one or two of them correctly, every other faulty prayer of yours in those 100 years of yours will be rectified, will be corrected because of those two prayers which you said correctly, or that one prayer which you said. So it looks like as if it is a huge big challenge that we have to offer these prayers correctly with the right mood and manner, and maintaining them, it is difficult. In this book, Adab al-Salat, of marhum Imam Khomeini, he also talks on this issue, that as to what should be done that we maintain our tawajjuh in our prayers. It is difficult, but it is possible. Maybe initially when we stand for prayers, if we are starting, for example, this week, initially it will be difficult to control our thoughts, to control our mood from wandering everywhere. But it is possible. We say Allahu Akbar in the presence of Allah and try to control these thoughts as much as it is possible. Maybe in the first rakat we were successful, in the second rakat we will just run away. Third rakat, maybe it will come back, we can control. Fourth rakat again, those thoughts will come back to us. And shaitan also works very hard, especially when we stand in worship before Allah, because he is the sworn enemy of Allah. And regarding prayers, we find that this, we've got five prayers, and we are allowed to say them at three times. And we find that almost at an interval of 7 or 8 hours, we've got a salat. If we say Fajr at 6 now, we've got Zuhr at 12, within 6-7 hours. Once again, after Zuhr, within 6-7 hours, we've got Maghrib. So the beautiful layout that we have over here, and comparing it to that facility of Tawbah, there Ma'soom says that if someone commits a sin, the angels who are to record the sin, they are instructed to wait, not to register, for 7 hours. And in those 7 hours, if we repent and if we say Astaghfirullah, says it will not be written. But for the good that we do, says that you have just intended and you haven't done that good. Oh, no, big deal. That's it. It's sharp.
Yeah.
But for the good which you do, Imam says you haven't done it. You just intended to do some good, to repair something over here in this building, for example. Says you just intended and it will be written, although you haven't done it yet. But for the wrong, says that because of that wrong, it will not be written unless you repent. Now looking into this facility with the timings of prayers that we have every 7 hours, Masoom says that the prayers which we offer, because of those prayers, the wrong we did, it is forgiven. That prayer itself, it is tawbah. That prayer itself, it is istighfar. So prayers for them, or that other glorious saying says that on the day of judgment when the a'mal will be presented before Allah, in qubilat qubila ma siwaha, that if prayers are accepted, everything else will be accepted. And if prayers are denied and thrown on to our faces, everything else also will be denied and declined. Now with reference to prayers, says that some of the prayers that we offer, they elevate to the highest point in Arsh. Some of these prayers, they elevate a little bit and then they drop down. So for that we have to try and do something that our prayers, they are corrected and they reach the destination. And that is possible. The second thing which Imam mentions over here is that look at our Shias, how they protect our secrets. If there is a secret that has been taught to them, for example, looking back into history, those of you who've been to Masjid al-Nabi, there is a column, a pillar, which is known as Sutun of Abu Lubaba. Abu Lubaba, he was one of the generals of Rasulullah. To him, an assignment was given to go and have a dialogue with the Jews. There he leaked some important information. Now this person who had leaked that information, now he is regretting that what should be done. Rasulullah finds out that secret information has been leaked. He comes here and says everyone to get together in the mosque, in Masjid al-Nabi. And there he says that I'm going to defame that person, whosoever has leaked this important information. Abu Lubaba is also present. Now he is supplicating to Allah that God forgive me, don't defame me. And when he was pleading to Allah, that very moment, ayah is revealed to Rasulullah that he has been forgiven. Now for that forgiving, he had tied himself onto that column, that sutun in that mosque, as a result of which that sutun, that column becomes sacred. That is someone who got forgiven over there. So secrets of Ma'sumin, they have to be protected. If there is something that has been taught to us which does not need to be conveyed to anyone, does not need to be forwarded, that has to be protected. It shouldn't be. The next quality which Imam mentions over here says that muasat. Muasat means helping. And this term muasat, we don't find an applicable of that in any language. It's only in Arabic. We've got a term called muasat and also musawat. Musawat means equality. But muasat in Arabic means that man, his hands and his heart are at ease when he wants to serve, when he wants to help someone, may that be morally, may that be materially, as if he is doing that for himself. If someone is helping out someone, it is not that he intends helping that individual. He is doing it in a way that he is helping himself. So if he's serving someone, it is as if he's serving himself. So that is helping others, which is muasat, as if he is helping himself. And some reports say that, do you love to spend your wealth, that what you possess for yourself, or for your friends, that is muwasat. And a Shia, according to this definition of Imam, is someone who possesses this beautiful quality of muwasat. And then Imam says that mutaghayyiratun alwanuhum musfarratun wujuhuhum. Now all these are the qualities of those high class, elite class mu'mineen or the Shias, which Imam talks about. Now we also just want to get an idea what exactly is present, so that we also, if possible, get some type of a resemblance with them. What does it mean? It says that when they have relaxed, they've done their daily assignments, their jobs, it says now when they want to relax, they bow down in sajda. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. That if you want your heart to be at rest, Imam says, my Shia, our mu'mineen, they bow down in sajda. Indeed, this time and this worship, it revives one's heart and purifies one's soul. And if you look into Quran, Quran also talks about this a lot. And about 20 ayat in Quran mention this issue. Importance of layl. Layl in Arabic means night. وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. Says he's made this night as a cover for you. وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا. Says day Allah has made it for you to work. Night has he has made it for you to rest. But it's the other way around now. All night awake, chatting, especially this new bala that we have, that is the Facebook and all the other chat rooms, all night just talking and chatting, not only here, worldwide, it's the same disease everywhere. Now Allah says, night you rest. A little portion of that night, get up and worship, recite Quran. So much of importance is given to this night and the worship at night that many of the ulama, they say, for example, Marhum Shah Abadi, among the mentors of Marhum Imam Khomeini, he says, get up at least for a little portion of the night and worship. If you cannot worship all those 11 rak'ah, at least one rak'at namaz-e-watr. You don't need to do it in the full format. Just one rak'at with just one alhamdulillah and say it. If you don't feel like doing even that, says just get up, sit and have a cup of tea. Because of the importance of that portion of that night, it is so great that we can benefit a lot at that time. Sustenance is provided, that special grace is provided at that time. It's like the supermarkets and grocery stores, they stock at night. It's easier. We also can stock whatever we want at that little portion of that night, and that is that for which Allah gives so much of importance to it, removing stress, tension, problems that we have, that we see during the day, they can be eased and sorted out at that time. And if you look into the performance of the great, among them we can name Marhum Ayatullah Bahja. His son, on and off, he says that I used to tell him, with all this excessive worship he had, that you have students, you can teach them, and to teach them you need to study a lot more. So he used to present it that way, so that his worship is reduced. Now he in reply says that if I cut down on this side, I have to spend a lot more time in understanding, in reading, in my research. That is, as a result of that worship and bowing down before Allah, that research and study time is reduced by a large number, by a large amount. That is, because of that bond which a person gets, creates with Allah, a lot is bestowed onto him. Tonight, Allah gives a lot of importance. 20 ayah says, Quran was revealed at night. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Rasulullah, when he ascends or says that Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan, that is Rasulullah, when he travels on that mission, and that is ascension to the heavens, or even from Mecca to from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, that journey is at night. Mi'raj is at night. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan, at night. In Quran we find a chapter named as Layl. It means that so much of importance is given to that. Now, says that wafis sama'i rizqukum, that is, in the skies is your sustenance, your rizq. You want to attract it, you want to get it, says at night. Get up, sit up, speak to your Lord, whatsoever you want, you will get it at that night. Now, by night means when it is time for Fajr prayers, wake up a little bit earlier so that you can worship if you are in the mood. If not, just as it was taught by that mentor, sit and have a cup of coffee or tea and then just get ready for your Fajr prayers. So that way, a person benefits a lot. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ وَسَبِّحْهُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا. That is, from that portion of the night, sit and glorify Allah. Then Imam says, the true Shias, they wait for the night to fall and then they separate and distance themselves from the mankind. Why do they do that? To meet their beloved. And that is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then says, among the beauties of these Shias are that kathirun sujuduhum, a lot of sajda they perform. Kathirun dumu'uhum, they shed a lot of tears. Now shedding tears, it's that due to the fright, khawf, that we have of the hereafter, of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It doesn't mean that Allah is scary, no. It's not him who is scary. It's the station which he possesses. It's the wrath that we will see. That we, in the presence of Allah, have such a lot of shortfall in our actions and a'mal that station of his is scary. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. That is someone who scares and is afraid of the station of Allah. That is the exalted position of Allah. And when we stand in prayers, we are said that we assume ourselves very minute, very tiny, very humble, very small. Now how is that possible? We can't. Zainab Attara, one of the women who say your prayers in a place, for example, in a huge big plain, in a desert, so that we find and see ourselves really minute, really small. So these are the tips that are given to us. And then says, kathirun dumu'uhum, they have a lot of tears. Kathirun dua'uhum, they have a lot of prayers. Now dua'uhum doesn't necessarily mean that we open a Fatiha al-Jinan and start reciting all those lengthy du'as. No, in your own talk, in your own language, when it comes to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you don't need to talk also. We can just communicate Wi-Fi without any words. That we sit in his presence and just a simple talk, and that is our heart starts communicating with him, says that is dua. That is, we sincerely have du'as with Allah, we have a conversation, a communication with him, and that is dua. Imam says, Shias kathirun dua'uhum, they communicate with their Lord a lot. Kathirun buka'uhum, they cry a lot. Yafrahun nas wahum mahzunun. Now what we see here, every TV channel you open, you got ha 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 ha. Everyone is just laughing and laughing, giggling and giggling. May that be programs for children, may that be even these cookery shows. He's cooking, she's cooking, but it's all laughter and laughter. Here says that Shias, yafrahun nas, people are happy, but they are sad. Now, being sad is a good quality. Mahzoon, huzn, is a positive quality that we have in our books of akhlaq, that a mu'min is mahzoon. doesn't mean that he's always depressed, he's always tense. No. Huzn over here means that he is worried as to whether or not he has done his duty. If I've said my prayers, if it's the whatever the duty assigned to me, always worried as to whether the quality of that was right. So that worry that I have, that huzn that I will be having, that will help in making the quality of the actions better. But if a person starts getting happy of whatever he has done and is overjoyed with what he has done, then that quality control also will fall down. So huzn, being upset, meaning that in my heart I am upset as to whether the duty has been done correctly or not, that is a good quality which a mu'min has to possess. Imam says, Yafrahun nas, people are happy, but are Shias, they are mahzoon. In remembrance of the hereafter, they are worried that what is going to happen of us, whether or not we will be granted a permit in the hereafter or not. Worried why people have distance from God. Worried as to whether we have performed our duty, etc. Now, says that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, خرج ذات ليلة من المسجد. One night he comes out of the mosque. وكانت ليلة قمراء. ليلة قمراء means it was a night like the 13th, 14th, wherein we've got a little bit more moonlight. And in those days it was such that there were no lights and it was dark. And the lifestyle of people was that after they used to come to the mosque, say the prayers, at Maghrib prayers, go home, have their dinner, come back to the masjid for their Isha prayers, and they used to sleep early and then wake up for Fajr and before Fajr. So that was that lifestyle. Says here that Amirul Mu'mineen, he comes out of the mosque and there he meets a group of people. He was heading to another point. لَحِقَهُ جَمَاعَةٌ, that is, he meets a group of people. فَوَقَفَ عَلَيْهِمْ, and then says, ثُمَّ قَالَ مَنْ أَنْتُمْ, Imam says to them, who are you? In reply, they say that قَالُوا شِيَعَتُكَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, we are your Shias. Imam looks at them, gazes at them, فَتَفَرَّسَ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ, looks at them, and then says, ثُمَّ قَالَ فَمَا لِي لَا أَرَى عَلَيْكُمْ سِيمَاءَ الشِّيَعَ, says, then why don't I see the signs of Shias in your face if you are the Shias? They say, قَالُوا وَمَا سِيمَاءُ الشِّيَعَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, what are the signs of Shias, يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ? Imam says, صُفْرُ الْوُجُوفِ مِنَ السَّهَرِ, that is, their faces are pale. Why? Because of that night worship, or standing in worship at night. عُمْشُ الْعُيُونَ مِنَ الْبُكَاءِ and حَدْبُ الظُّهُورِ مِنَ الْقِيَامِ, that is, their lips, they are dry due to excessive du'as, and then the eyes due to crying, shedding tears. Now all these things may not be easy for us to comprehend, but it is a fact, and we do find people who do cry when they stand in worship. We've seen many. And that is due to that وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, etc., etc. They who really and truly are afraid of the hereafter, they are afraid of their position and the position of Allah جَلَّ وَعَلَى, they do cry. And then says that مَعَاشِرًا شِيعًا كُونُوا لَنَا زَيْنًا. Imam continues and says that, oh mankind, oh people, you must be a means for us to be proud of. Kunu lana zainan, that you have to be a means that we are proud that you are an adornment. That is, by the presence of Shias, Imams, they get happy. Wala takunu alayna shayna, that is, by your presence, it shouldn't be as such that we, the Imams, are defamed, are ashamed. Our heads are bowed down because of your performance. قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. That is, you speak to people in a good way. وَحْفَذُوا أَلْسِنَتَكُمْ وَكُفُّوهَا عَنِ الْفُضُولِ وَقُبْحِ الْقَوْلِ. That is, protect your tongue. Be dignified. Be good. Now all these are things and qualities which Imam mentions over here that we need to وَحْفَذُوا أَلْسِنَتَكُمْ. That is, your tongue, it has to be protected. And we did mention quite a few times that a person, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And does mention that from this package of deen that you have brought forth, I can only do my namaz, nothing else. Only namaz, only prayers. Says, if you want me to offer mustahab prayers for me to go and doze off, it's much more relaxing. If you want me to say my observe my fasts, he said, I can't do that. I'm so sick. I'm so ill. So weak. I can't even fast. Hajj is not applicable to me. I'm not mustatir. Zakat, I cannot pay. I have no funds. Khums does not apply to me. And then he says, out of this deen of yours, assuming there are 200 ahkam, out of these 200 ahkam, only one I can do, and that is the prayers, nothing else. If you say jihad, I'm so weak, I can't even carry a sword. And then he says to Rasulullah, will I ever enter the heaven with this minimum ahkam and performance I have? Rasulullah says, if you do three things, you will be with me side by side in the heaven. He says, what is that? Says, first, protect your tongue. Don't swear. Protect your tongue. The sins that are committed by the tongue, keep it clean. Says, your belly, no haram gets into it. Only halal. And then your private part says, these three things, you protect them, you will be with me in the heaven side by side. Although you have only that minimum ahkam of yours that you have been performing. And then Imam continues, says that among the qualities of a Shia, قال يا لا تزالوا شيعتنا مرعيين محفوظين مستورين معصومين. That Shias, they will be under the protection of Allah. They will be protected by their enemies. Nothing will harm them if they observe these things. What are they? Says first, they must correct their relationship with their Creator. It was mentioned yesterday, even today. Correcting our relationship with the Creator, meaning that this heart which Allah has given to us, the operating system on that heart should be Allah. That is, the fundamental that we just talked about, they should be ruling on that heart. That is, oneness of God, justice of God, belief in the prophethood, belief in imamat, belief in the day of judgment. Says that way our relationship with Allah has been corrected. Now, the other thing says that, the second thing, correct his relationship with his Imam. That is, if we correct our relationship with the Imam, meaning that whatsoever they have said we do, whatsoever they have said not to do, we don't do. A relationship which is healthy with the Imam. That is, whatever they want, مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. That is, whatever Rasulullah has asked you to do, you do it. Whatever he said don't do, don't do it. So we don't pick and choose from this deen of Allah what we want and what we desire. A tailor-made religion, we don't. He says, that is what you have to do. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he was in the mosque, there was a person saying his prayers. Rasulullah calls him He doesn't reply. Continues with his prayers. Calls him once again. He continues. Does not respond to Rasulullah. For the third time, no reply. And when he completed his prayers, Rasulullah says to him, "Did I not call you?" He says, "Did you not see me praying, Rasulullah?" He says, "He who asked you to say those prayers," and that was, it was me myself, "has asked you to be obedient to me first." Obedience comes first. So that obedience factor has to be activated in us. That is, whatsoever Rasulullah says, we have to accept it blindly. Now all these different examples and ahadith that we have, that a person comes to our eighth Imam and Imam says, "How much are you obedient to me?" He says, "Whatever you say, I'll do it." Imam says, "Jump in this burning oven." He says, "La tulqu bi aydikum ila tahluka." Quran says that don't put yourself into danger. And you want me to jump in this blazing oven? Another Sahabi comes. Imam says, "Come on, jump." He says, "With my footwear on, or shall I remove them?" He says, "As you wish." Goes in, and then he instructs him to come out. How was it? He says, "It was a garden in there." That was as a result of that obedience. So here, Imam says, if you want to look at the Shias, first of all, they have to correct their relationship with their God. Second, sahhat niyatuhum li'aimmatihim, they have to correct their bond with their Imam. Whatever the Imam says, you have to abide by their teachings. And then says, his relationship with the Shias at large, that also has to be corrected. So he knows what his duty is towards them, helping them, serving them, saving them, good attitude, so on and so forth. وَبَرُّوا إِخْوَانَهُمْ فَعَتَفُوا عَلَىٰ ضَعِيفِهِمْ وَتَصَدَّقُوا عَلَىٰ ذَوِ الْفَاقَةِ مِنْهُمْ. So these are the tips which Imam mentions over here, that you be good to your brothers, you be kind to them, he who is weak among them, help him, and then he who is in need, you provide services to them and those who are needy. Continues, "Inna la na'muru bi-dhulmin walakin na'murukum bil-wara'i bil-wara'i bil-wara'i." Imam says, we never instruct you to oppress, to do zulm, to be a tyrant or any type of oppression. But what we do instruct you is bil-wara'i bil-wara'i bil-wara'i. Wara' means that highest level of taqwa. Taqwa also is defined and described into a few stages. The first stage, which was mentioned today, is at-tahaffuz anil khulud fin nar. You do something that you protect yourself from being burnt forever in the hell, and that is by learning the usul. And if usul al-deen are complete, a person, he will never be burnt in the hellfire forever. That is that first stage of taqwa. The second stage is ityanul wajibat wa tarkil muharramat. That is, do everything which is wajib, put away everything which is haram. If we step into the first stage of taqwa, we will be known as mu'min, a Muslim. If we step into the second stage of taqwa, we will be tagged and known as a mu'min who is adil. So these are the stages of taqwa that Imam talks about, or in that glorious saying, says that you correct your bond with God first, then you correct your relationship with the Imam, and then with the Shias at large. And for this, we find that amazing rewards are there, especially for mu'mineen. Says, because of this bond that we have with the Imam, because of these tears that are shed for Abu Abdullah, which again, it's that same bond that we have with Ma'sumin, says the first benefit of that will be seen when a person is giving away his life. It's going to be a tough moment. But because of this association that we have with the Imams, with Ma'sumin, says, even the angel of death, who is instructed to be tough, says he is instructed to be kind to us because of this bond that we have. Among the personalities we can mention over here, it's Marhum Ayatullah Murtaza Ashtiani. He is among the great ulama who lived in Mashhad, who died and was buried just a few meters by the grave of our aged Imam Riza alayhi salatu was salam. And there says that he lived for about 80 years. When it was the time of his death, a few days before that, he has a mukashifa, and the same thing was seen after his death. He died, he is buried, the grave is closed, talqeen was recited, and everyone is away. Now when all the relatives are gone, then the angels, they start coming into the grave to question, which is haqq wa su'al munkarin wa nakirin haqq. Says that when everyone had gone, the grave slides open, the angels, they come in, and then he says, I see 14 Nurani beings, they also enter my grave. And when Munkir and Nakir, they start questioning, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? Rasulullah, present in the grave, says, don't disturb him. Now we do find in Riwayat, in the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, that someone who has died, it's like having this jet lag. If you've come from a long flight, you get tired. So transfer from this dunya to barzakh also is similar. So someone who has transferred, who has arrived at barzakh, he's tired. He has come out from a zone, entered another zone, and the pains that he has seen, and arriving there, he is dead tired. And even those mu'mineen, his relatives, who want to see him in barzakh, they say, let him rest for a few days, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and we'll go and meet him after he has relaxed a little bit. Here Rasulullah says, when Malakul Maut asks that, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? Rasulullah says, don't ask him. He's been teaching people for the past 70 years who their God is, and you don't need to ask him. I will represent him. On his behalf, I will answer all the questions you have. Rasul becoming a wakil of an ordinary person. Says Allah Jalla Jalaluhu Rabbi. And then says, who is your prophet? He says, Ana Nabi, I am his prophet. When inquired, who is your imam? Amirul Mu'mineen says, I am his imam. And one after the other, all of them respond to the questions which Munkir and Nakir have for this glorious person. And then Imam continues mentioning the qualities of the Shias, says that فَإِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَمْ يَزَالُوا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ قَلِيلِينَ مُنْذُ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمَ. Says our awliya, our friends, لَمْ يَزَالُوا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ, they are always مُسْتَضْعَف. They are few. مُنْذُ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمَ. It's not just in 2012. Says, since Allah created Adam, it was the case. Always very few and always very mustaz'af. Now Imam continues and says that, قَالَ لَيْسَ مِنْ شِيَعَتِنَا مَنْ يَكُونُ فِي مِسْرٍ يَكُونُ فِيهِ آلَافٌ وَيَكُونُ فِي الْمِسْرِ أَوْرَعْ مِنْهِ. A very shocking message which Imam mentions over here, and it's at large to each one of us, to myself first. Imam says, he is not a Shia of ours. Who is that not a Shia of ours? Says, if you live in a town, for example here, Seattle. Says, if you've got 1,000 Shias living here. Says, a Shia of ours is not as such that if there is someone who is awra, much more pious, says, and a pious, more pious person cannot exist then. You have to be the most pious. You have to be the most pious. We cannot just stick and say that we are just the basic and the economy class Shias, that's sufficient for us. Imam says, that is not acceptable. You have to compete. You have to try and be the best. If there is a best, you have to be a little bit better than that best. So Shias, they always have to compete. Comes to good, you have to compete. When there's a task that has to be done, try and be first and foremost to do it. Don't let anyone else do it, you do it. Because it is good. So, some of the qualities were mentioned. And inshallah, we'll try and continue this even tomorrow. May Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, help us in understanding these glorious sayings of Ma'sumeen and applying them onto our daily program, inshallah. Among the personalities we can talk about tonight is Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu was salam. His father Abu Talib, his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, or even the uncle of Rasulullah Hamza. And if you come down Abu Talib, and then you've got Amir al-Mu'mineen, his brother Ja'far al-Tayyar, and then his own son Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas. All of them great personalities. And the sacrifices they gave also cannot be understood by us. What great sacrifices they gave. Hamza, he is the uncle of the Holy Prophet. The first shaheed, or the ziyarat that says that khayru shuhada, the best of the martyrs. For whose martyrdom and shahadat Rasulullah was disturbed a lot. For whom Hazrat Zahra also cried a lot. She used to come to the grave of Hamza. There she used to cry almost every day. And the first tasbih, sabha, which we have, was made by the dust of the grave of Hazrat Hamza alayhi salam. The same thing is with Abu Talib, father of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Services that he provided are great. Those 3 years that he was in the Shi'bi Abi Talib, when all these embargoes and sanctions were there on the Muslims, we find two personalities they served throughout the life and in those desperate moments a lot more. One is Abu Talib alayhi salam, and the other is Hazrat Khadija alayhi salam. And both of them passed away with just a few days gap, and in those days when Muslims had all those embargoes and sanctions. We find that although he is the uncle of Rasulullah, he is a shield, protects him. Normally we take care of our children much more than anyone else. We find that when Rasulullah is being attacked from all sides, Abu Talib, he puts his son Ali in the place so that he be killed, Rasulullah be saved. The same thing can be seen in Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas. That is, as his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, was a shield to Rasulullah, Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas is a shield to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. So this runs in the blood of that entire father, grandfather, uncle, grandson, all of them. One package, one beautiful package. Now when we see that Amir al-Mu'mineen, his mother, Fatima bint Asad, she is in labor. She is in pain. She is pregnant. She is not in a mosque. And by the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, someone who was not in a mosque is invited to the mosque. Masjid al-Haram, the most sacred spot on earth. Looking back into history, we've got Hazrat Maryam alayha salam. She is in a place of worship, in a mosque. Instructions given to her, leave, go. Isa must not be born in a mosque. But when it comes to Fatima bint Asad, she who was not in a mosque is invited towards Kaaba. Says, Ilahi, zikr ya rab ya rabam bashad bilak ta'kei. That is, she's in pain, she's in labor. She says, how much more should I say, Ya Rab, Ya Rab? ز اندوه من بی دل به نالت مرغ شب تا کی. How much more shall I plead? دلم آمد به جان این سوز و ساز و تاب و تب تا کی. How much more shall I bear this pain? اثر بخشا تو آهم را بغل بکشا پناهم را ببین برق نگاهم را. Ease me, help me. خدایا به مولودی که اندر بطنم گوید سخن با من. Says God, by this baby in me who is speaking to me. به آه عافیت سوزی که یا او می کشد یا من. It's the size, either he is sighing or it's me who is sighing. که من آتش به جان هستم گهی هوشیار گه مستم. And completes and continues and then says that suddenly the wall of Kaaba, its cracks open. Someone who is outside Kaaba, the wall, it cracks open and she enters into Kaaba. Now if looking in back into the performance of Rasulullah, the place where the Kaaba opened, that is known as Rukn-e Yamani. So those of you who've been to Masjid al-Haram, you've got this corner before Hajar al-Aswad. It is known as Rukn-e Yamani. And no matter what they do today, just to hide those effects of the wall that was broken for Fatima bint Asad, for her to enter wherein Amirul Mu'mineen was born, even now you can see the traces of it that cannot be hidden. That miracle which opened for her, she stayed there in Kaaba for 3 days, and when she comes out with this baby, which is Amirul Mu'mineen. Now that Amirul Mu'mineen was born, Abu Talib alayhi salam, he is happy, sees that his wife, she has a baby in her arms, says, what shall I name this baby? Born in this miraculous way. Says, Ya Rab, هذا الغسق الدجي والفلق المبتلج المذي بيّن لنا عن أمرك المغضي ماذا ترى في اسم ذا السبي. Says that God, Lord, what shall I name him? You are the creator, Lord of the darkness and dusk, Lord of this glowing daybreak. Reveal unto me your command as to what is your decree, what shall I name this baby of mine? Says, as he was pleading, supplicating to Allah in this poetic form, suddenly an emerald tablet fell to the ground. What is engraved on it? Says, Khussistuma bil walad al-zaki. That is, you've been selected for the choicest son. Wattahir al-muntajib al-radi. اسمه من قاهر العلي علي اشتق من العلي. Says that you've been selected, you've been chosen for the choicest blessing of God. God, he is the Almighty Lord whose name is Ali. Now this also should, he also should be named by the name of Allah. That is, he also should be named as if a junior Ali to that senior Ali, which is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Says, he was named Ali. Father as such. Son, Abul Fazl al-Abbas also possesses all those virtues which he should be having, being the son of Amirul Mu'mineen. Now, Amirul Mu'mineen, when he is struck on that day, which is the 19th of Ramadan, he is wounded, he falls to the ground, cries, and tahaddamat arkan al-huda was the cry raised by Jibreel. And that is that second musibat which unfolds on this household of wahi, and that is in Kufa. Amazing masaib and amazing incidents, they take place over there, and Amir al-Mu'mineen is hit, is wounded, is buried, and after that this tragedy of Karbala also starts to unfold. Among the members of this family of Abu Talib, we have Muslim ibn Aqil, another great personality, among the sincere servants of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Now he is taken to the rooftop. There, he is beaten. He requests for some water. Water is given to him. That cup, when he brings it to his, towards his lips, wants to have a sip of it, the blood from his mouth, it flows into this cup. Becomes najis, he could not drink. Asks for another cup of water was given to him, the same thing happens there. For the third time, and then says, it seems that my sustenance in this dunya has been finished, is finished, is complete. Is punished in the most severe way, thrown from the rooftop so high. Here the poet, he says that ulubun fil hayat wa fil mamati. That is, as long as he lived, his life was so lofty, so exalted, so high. Even his death also was so high that he was killed, he was thrown from that highest point, thrown onto this earth, onto the ground. We find that Abul Fazl al-Abbas is also the same, being the son of Abu Talib with all those miraculous services he provided. Loyalty of Abbas, it cannot be a match. In that wasiyyat that Amir al-Mu'mineen was giving on in the last moments of his life, calls his son Hassan. Says Hassan, every member of the house, his hand was given in the hands of Imam al-Mujtaba. Umm al-Baneen, she is upset. Says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, why Abbas's hand was not given in the hand of Hassan? Has he done something wrong? Or when Abul Fazl al-Abbas was born, Amir al-Mu'mineen is informed that a baby boy has been born, runs to his house, takes the baby, is so happy, and then he starts kissing the arms, the hands of the baby. Umm al-Baneen, she got upset. She says, is there anything wrong with the baby? Why are you kissing his hands? He says that you don't know what these hands are, Umm al-Baneen. The services that will be provided with these arms and hands of Abul Fazl al-Abbas, no one can ever perceive them. Says that when she complains that why wasn't Abbas's hand given in the hand of Imam al-Mujtaba, says, wait, calls Hussein, and then calls Abbas, gives the hands of Abbas in the hands of Hussein, says that I don't want to be ashamed on the day of judgment. Abbas, you have to serve Hussein, you have to shield, be his shield to the best of your ability. We find that four glorious sons were given to Umm al-Baneen. And on that day of Karbala, when the task and the flag of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn is in the hand of Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas, he fights a furious fight. So many were killed. And when he was attacked, and the instructions given by the household, by Sakina bint al-Husayn, was to get some water. Comes towards the river. No one could stop him. Fills the vessel with water. Comes, wants to come back. An arrow is shot onto his right arm, right hand. And that hand falls to the ground. Holds the vessel with his left hand. Is shot. And that vessel, when it is about to fall, he holds it with his teeth, with his mouth. So both arms are gone. Now what he says is that Wallah in qata'tumu yamini inni uhami abadan an dini. That by God, if this right arm of mine is gone, let go. I will safeguard my deen forever. Abadan an dini. One imam in sadiqin yaqini, and I will protect this imam of mine who is the true sadiq, and that is my faith. Najlin nabi at-tahir al-amini, who is the grandson of the prophet. Now Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas, when he was hit, both arms are gone, holds the vessel with his mouth, an arrow is shot, and all the water that was collected, it just flows away. An arrow comes, hits his eye, falls to the ground. And someone who has no arms, how does he fall to the ground? Says falls to the ground. And here, Abu Abdullah, when he is informed that Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas has fallen down, comes to help, holds Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas, places him on his lap, cleans his eyes, removes the spear from his eye, and then says that Mawla, he never said brother to his brother, always it was master, always it was Mawla. And when he passes away in the laps of his master, hear the performance of Abu Abdullah, it's amazing. He comes towards the camp of Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas. He was riding himself, but when he returns, he is not on his right. What he does is come straight to this tent wherein, which was the headquarters of Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas, removes the column and the camp, the tent, it falls, it collapses. So everyone found out that something has happened, that Imam has done as such, and then says, Wallah, this back of mine, it broke. That is, the backbone of Abu Abdullah was Abu al-Fazl. His passing away was passing away here. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayya'lamu al-ladheena zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Ya marhum Ujani, he reports in his book, says that this wafa which Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas possessed during his life exists even today. He quotes an incident which takes place with himself. Says that it was the Arba'een of Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas. And as it is this custom that Mu'mineen, they travel to Karbala to pay a visit to Abu al-Fazl, says that, and they walked to Karbala. Says, I also was walking. And this group with which I was to go, they were in a rush. They start their journey and I had to get some water. I said, no, now if I take that water, I'm going to be delayed. Says, continues, without water and with bare feet, with no footwear, runs towards the haram of Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas. Says, it was a hot day and I was thirsty, dehydrated. And when a person is dehydrated, he runs faster and faster. Says, I ran so fast that all of a sudden I was reminded of the day of Ashura, that what may have happened on that day. Says that the moment I was reminded of the day of Ashura, a clip opens before me as if I am in that scene of the day of Ashura. Says, I saw on one side how these tents and camps were being set ablaze. And I saw the thirst of the day. I saw what is happening, how people are being knocked down, killed and wounded. And suddenly I see that I am in the shrine of Abu al-Fazl al-Abdullah al-Hussein. My feet were bleeding. I said, I'll wash my feet and then get into the shrine. Says the clock starts striking 6. And instead of the bell ringing in that clock, I see Abu Abdullah al-Hussein saying, Hal min nasirin yansuruni? Is there anyone to help me? And it said 6 times. Says after that, I was furthermore amazed to hear that the clock in the haram of Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas also strikes 6. But instead of it ringing, it says labbaik, 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 labbaik. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayya'lamu al-ladheena zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Ilahi bihaqq al-zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawdha fiha. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Allahumma ighfir lana wa li walidayna wa liman wajaba lahu haqqun alayna wa liman wassana bid-du'a wa li jami'i ummati Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ahyina hayata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. وأمتنا ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة محمد وآل محمد وفي الآخرة شفاعة محمد وآل محمد وعجل في فرج محمد وآل محمد. مات الحسين.
يا حسين. يا حسين.
يا حسين.
يا حسين.